Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. ART has been recording lost shows from Vic and Sade for years. This time around, we have a new actor in one of the regular roles. Mark Whitworth is Vic. Here's Rush Brings Rooster Davis's Pants Home for Mending.
Vic and Sade. Rush brings in Rooster's pants for mending. It's a few minutes after 10 o'clock in the morning as our scene opens now, and here in the kitchen we find the lady of the house busy at her ironing board. The man of the house is present too, doing a little office work at home. And at this particular moment, he's saying to his wife,
"Ooh, take a look out the window."
"Oh, I just did. Some blizzard."
"Well, I'll say.
If this keeps up, we'll have our white Christmas, all right."
"If it keeps this up, we'll have a white 4th of July. Never seen so much snow."
"Soon as it lets up, you better get out your shovel and scoop off those walks."
Yeah.
"Saw the mailman go by a little while ago. His face was so red from the cold and his mustache so white from the snow, he looked like, somebody stomping their feet on the back porch."
"Gas meter guy, expect."
"Huh? Now, why don't he go down the cellar door, traipsing through the person's kitchen with feet all over? Oh.
Hi, Mom. Gov?
Hello."
"Talk about your winter time."
"Yeah, it is a big winter time out there."
"What are you doing home at 10 o'clock?
"Well, it's recess. Rooster Davis and me run through the blizzard to see if you'd sew up his pants. He tore them. Will ya?"
"Where are his pants?"
"I got them under my overcoat."
"Where's he?"
"Out in the shed."
"Without any pants on?"
"Yeah, he's kind of bashful, see? He didn't want to come in into the house. So here's the pants. See the terrible rip?"
"How did he do that?"
"Oh, he leaned up against a telephone pole that had a nail in it. Will you fix the pants?"
"Oh, I suppose. Listen, though, you boys won't have time to get back to school before recess is over, will you?"
"Well, no, but it's okay. Under circumstances like these, Ms. Kinney will excuse us."
"Is Rooster sitting out there in his bare legs?"
"Sure."
"Run out and tell him to come in the house. He'll freeze."
"Well, he don't want to come in. He's bashful without his pants on."
"Is he wearing long underwear?"
"No, short."
"Oh, now go down cellar and take him some overalls or something. Tell him he can sit upstairs till I've fixed his pants."
"Okay. Guess he'll agree to that. Can you sew up the rip right away?"
"I can baste it with coarse thread so it'll hold till his mother can sew it on the machine."
"Okay, I'll tell him."
"If you go out the cellar door, be sure and close it again, good and tight."
"Yeah."
"How'd you like to sit out in that shed without any pants on?"
"Don't believe I'd care for it."
"Such notions kids get, Vic. Will you open the drawer and hand me that needle and the thread that's in there?"
"Uh-huh."
"Do you see this rip?"
"No."
"Well, look."
"Gosh.
Might have killed himself on that nail."
"Are they good pants?"
"Just corduroy. Old ones at that."
"This what you want?"
"Uh-huh. Oh, the thimble there, too."
Yeah.
"Oh, it's wonder children ever grow up the way they expose themselves to so many dangers. Girls is the safest." "And still, they do crazy things, too. You know Miss Hamston's Louis May, don't you?"
"I guess so."
"Oh, she's the one in between Geraldine and Grace with the braces on her teeth?"
"Uh-huh."
"Well, now, she's as bad as any boy that ever lived. Guess what her mother caught her doing the other night?"
"Couldn't imagine."
"Caught her hopping streetcars."
"Yeah."
"True as I'm standing here. They live on the Market Street car line, you know. And when the cars slow down to make that turn, Lois made run out and jump on the back end." Didn't hear that boy wipe his feet. "Why, Rush Cook!"
"I couldn't find any clean overalls, Mom, so I..."
"Where are your pants?"
"I give them to Rooster."
"Do Did you come up from the shed to the house like that?
Yeah, no one was looking.
And you're a big man going on 13 years old.
Well, heck, I couldn't find any clean overalls down cellar and Rooster.
Why didn't Rooster come inside?
Said he'd just as soon stay out there.
Gracious.
Don't know which one is the most half-witted, Ralph, you or your pal.
Not my fault if he wants to sit out in the cold.
Did he put your pants on?
Yeah, he said he's gonna be okay. Said he was very comfortable getting the rip sewed, Mom.
Well as I can. Now listen, you suppose Rooster'd mind if we emptied out his pockets?
Well, not at all.
Be a lot easier to work with.
Give them to me. I'll take the junk out.
Won't be necessary for a minute yet. I'm sewing up the bottom here. Tell you what you can do. Run up and get yourself some pants.
Oh, I don't need any.
Oh, yes, you do.
I'm warm as toast.
Do like I say.
I am warm as toast, Mom. My legs are
Mind
fine.
Mind your mother, Pete. The fact that you're warm as toast is beside the point. It's a matter of decency when a lady requests a man to wear pants in her presence.
Something fell out here, Rush. Pick it up.
Where'd it go?
Oh, by my feet somewhere. You look.
Rooster's a guy that can carry more junk in his pockets than a horse. He'll pick up a piece of iron from off the street and carry it around till... Well, by gosh!
What was it?
Piece of green chalk? That dirty crook, Mom? Remember the other day when I come home with writing on the back of my leather jacket?
Yes.
It said, Rush is crazier than his uncle's grandmother.
Yes.
It was green writing, wasn't it?
Don't remember.
You remember, Gov?
Hmm? No.
Well, it was green writing, and here's the green chalk that wrote it. That doggone Rooster tried to lay it on Heiny Call.
Rush, will you go get something to cover up them bare legs?
Well, why can't I wear your apron? You'll be done there in a minute, won't you?
Well, take it off of me then.
Talk about your low-down crooks. Wish I hadn't given Rooster my pants. Serve him right to sit out there in the shed all day.
Here, want to empty these pockets?
Yeah.
My needle's dangling now. Careful you don't stick yourself. How's the blizzard look, Vic?
Looks like it's going to keep right on going.
Oh, is Rooster peeking out the window of the shed?
Don't see him.
All them holes and chinks in the wall. I'll bet the soda's just furious around his ears.
Rooster's a reflective young man. He probably loves the peace and quiet.
Hey!
What aileth you?
Look here what I found in that guy's pocket.
What?
My ink eraser. Rooster claimed he never set eyes on it.
Hurry up there, son. I got other things to do, you know.
Why, that skunk had my ink eraser all the doggone time.
How do you imagine it come into his possession?
Well, plain as day. Yesterday, when the teacher wasn't looking, I hauled off and hit Rooster in the back of the head with it. And then, when I went to look for it after school to hunt for it, I couldn't find it. Asked Rooster about it, and he said he didn't know a thing. Here it is in his pocket.
I don't know how a court of law would act in the case, but if someone hit me in the back of the head with something valuable, I'd feel perfectly justified in keeping...
By gosh, he's got money! Look here, 11 cents.
The same 11 cents you put in his drinking water, I suppose.
What you know about that? He's got 11 cents cash, and he's been stalling me off about the 3 cents he's owed me for 6 weeks.
Rush, if you want me to fix those pants, you give them here.
I ain't got all his stuff out of the pockets yet.
That poor Rooster turned it into an icicle out there.
Zaid.
Yes?
What do you think of this man's costume?
You mean my apron?
Have you observed the view from behind?
No.
Well worth your while. An apron, though ideal for covering the anterior part of the body, is utterly inadequate when it comes to covering up the posterior.
Why, that darn rattlesnake!
What'd you find now?
Note he wrote to my girl, to Mildred Teasdale. Mildred, are you walking home after school?
A false friend, if there ever was one.
Anyway, he got turned down, says on the other side, I am walking home with Elizabeth Miller and Grace Kim. Well, what you know about that? I bet I'll make Rooster Davis...
Rush, give me those pants.
Here, Gov, wouldn't you jump down this guy's throat?
Don't know but what I would.
Well, here I was doing him a favor, letting him sit in my own woodshed while my own mother sewed up his darned old pants. And all the time he had all this evidence in his pockets. Piece of green chalk he wrote on my back with and said he didn't. 11 cents in cash when he owed me 3 cents for 6 weeks. Ink erasure he copped off of me. And a note to Mildred Teasdale when he knows I'm the guy that walks her home when she doesn't walk home with the girls.
A black, unbelievable story.
Just wait till I get him.
Did you find anything incriminating in those articles there?
No.
What are those other articles?
Oh, just junk Rooster carries around in his pocket. Little book about how to fix your cook stove. Comb with all the teeth out. Busted fountain pen. Hinge off a screen door. Heel plate. Lady's shoe button. Hunting license good in Ohio in 1914. Horseshoe nail. Yeah, just different stuff.
Here's the pants, son. All fixed.
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much, Mom.
Now you tell Rooster to look out for nails and telephone poles after this.
Yeah. Say, guess I'll put these pants on, trade with Rooster out in the shed.
Shed's a pretty cold place for changing pants.
Well, that's okay. Here's your apron back, Mom.
Now, don't forget to put these things back in the pockets.
I'll put some of them back. Gonna keep my ink eraser and my 3 cents.
Will Miss Kenny want a written excuse to let you boys back into class?
Nah, we'll explain it to her. We'll just say...
Here's something you dropped.
Oh, yeah. Thing to cut your fingernails with. Rooster's carried that around in his pocket for years. Never cuts his fingernails with it. Well, I'll go out now. Don't be scared if you hear a lot of hollering.
Hollering?
Well, I'm going to take a good poke at Rooster. I'll teach him.
Better take a good poke at your school books. Teach yourself.
Thanks again for fixing the pants, Mom.
Perfectly all right.
See you at dinner time. So long, Gov.
So long.
Look out and see how the blizzard is doing now.
Coming along fine.
I like snow around Christmas time all right. But, oh, he forgot his overcoat.
He'll be back in to get it.
Well, I hope Rooster's got a good warm overcoat. Sitting out in that old shed.
He'll probably get warmed up when Rush takes that poke at him.
I don't think he'll take any poke at Rooster. Tried it twice before and come out the dirty end of the stick. It was kind of funny, them things in the pants pockets.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what I'd find if I went through my best friend's clothes.
It's kind of like that business about eavesdroppers seldom hearing good things about themselves.
Uh-huh. After all, the contents of a man's pocket are...
Oh, I forgot my overcoat.
Yes. There on the chair.
Changed pants yet?
No, we decided to wear each other's pants for the rest of the morning. Awful cold out there in the shed. Rooster says thanks, Mom.
Tell him glad to help.
Well, I'll see you at dinner time.
Oh, son, did you take that poke at Rooster?
No, I didn't. We kind of fixed things up.
How so?
Well, you see, he had my pants on just now.
Uh-huh.
And he got to monkeying around and found some stuff in my pockets.
And what did he find?
Oh, just a few different articles.
And what were they?
Well, a buffalo nickel with a hole in it I swiped off of him. And a little tube of mucilage that gave it away that I was the guy that stuck his arithmetic book to his geography book. And a piece of wire, just like the piece of wire someone tied his overshoes together with. And a bottle of red sand, like the red sand he found in his hat at school the other day.
Oh.
So we kind of fixed it up.
Uh-huh.
I agreed to overlook what I found in his pockets, and he agreed to overlook what he found in my pockets.
I see.
Well, I got to get on to school now. So long, Gov.
So long.
So long, Mom.
So long.
See you at dinner time.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye.
Which concludes a tale of torn pants, revealing pockets, storms, threats, heartbreak, and the final reconciliation of two friends at the small house halfway up in the next block. In our cast, you heard Mark Whitworth as Vic, Marge Lutton as Sade, Joy Jackson as Rush. Sound effects by Marilyn Wild and Penny Swanberg. I'm your announcer, Kim Turner. This has been a recreation of an old-time radio play by ART, American Radio Theater.
I thought one Vic and Sade was not quite enough, so here's another one. Our second episode with Mark as Vic is Casting for the Pageant.
Vic and Sade, Casting the Pageant, Shining Waters Flowing to the Sea. Once again, we'd like to ask you to come with us to the house halfway up in the next block where Vic and Sade live. It is late afternoon as our scene opens now, and here in the living room is young Rush. He has been home from school only a short while, and surprisingly enough, he's at the library table studying instead of playing baseball over in Seymour's vacant lot. And here's a newcomer. The newcomer is Vic, who says,
"Well, a day.
Oh, hi, Gov.
You're not studying."
"Yeah.
Well, the world is full of wonderful things."
"Well, I'm studying now so I can go out to the movies tonight."
"I knew there must be some ulterior motive."
"Thanks.
Are you in a frame of mind for some news?"
"Sure."
"Well, sir, your old man has been singly honored this day."
"Oh, yeah?"
"I suppose you've heard of Mrs. A.J. Driscoll on the east side?"
"Oh, the rich people."
"Right. This afternoon, the same Mrs. Driscoll phoned me up with a request that I appear at her house tonight."
"The great big house on Chester Avenue?"
"The great big house on Chester Avenue. Where's Mom?"
"Oh, I don't know. I just got home myself."
"Won't she fall over when she hears the news?"
"What's Mrs. Driscoll want you for?"
"I have nothing to conceal. I'll tell you."
"She stuck on you?"
"She didn't say. However, I'll disclose what I know of the matter. Mrs. Driscoll is putting on a pageant, and your pup has been asked to take on one of the principal parts in it."
"Oh, you're going to be in a play, huh?"
"Right. Tonight, promptly at 7, I appear at the Driscoll Mansion for the first rehearsal."
"What's you going to be in the play?"
"The voice of the Congo."
"What?"
"There's nothing humorous about this, Ralph."
"The Congo is a river."
"Mrs. Driscoll is aware of that."
"She's going to give a play about a river, huh?"
"A play about many rivers. It's called Shining Waters Flowing to the Sea. The idea is that the whole world is a network of streams. Somewhere all these streams join one another. This kind of makes us all cousins, see?"
"No."
"Well, it does. Reflect."
"Huh?"
"Think about it. You know the Mackinac River, don't you?"
"Well, sure."
"Well, the Mackinac flows into the Illinois. The Illinois flows into the Mississippi. The Mississippi flows into the Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of Mexico also receives the turbid waters of the Snake, the Rio Grande, and the White. All these flow into the Pacific Ocean and join, through devious routes, the Nile, the Niger, the Amazon, and the Elbe. Follow me?"
"No."
"It matters little. Nevertheless, by means of all these shining ribbons of water, every man on earth is joined by strong bonds to every other man on earth." "They are too, I tell you."
"I mean, I don't understand it."
"It's not important that you do. The point is, your old man has been selected to take the part of the voice of the Congo."
I guess that's pretty good."
"I hope to snort. Wait till your mother hears about me going over to brush elbows with the folks on Chester Avenue."
"Do what?"
"Hobnob. You may have occasion to remember this day. Son, it marks the time when the doors to high society were laid open to admit your father, a humble toiler in the vineyard, a simple soul whose only ambition was to..."
"Yeah, here comes Mom."
"Huh?"
"Mom's coming in the back door."
"Oh. Well, listen, let me break the news. You just don't say nothing, see?"
"About Mrs. Driscoll, you know?"
"Yeah."
"Is the voice of the Congo supposed to..."
"Sade."
"Yes, it's me."
"All right, I'll do the telling, Albert."
"I wasn't going to say anything."
"You home too, son?"
"Yeah, I thought I'd study now so I could go to the movies with Fat tonight."
"Oh, uh-huh. Oh, say, Vic, I got something to tell you." "What's What's the matter?
Nothing.
What are you laughing for?
I got a little something to tell myself.
What?
It can wait. It can wait.
Well, what is it?
Not a word, son.
Wasn't going to say nothing.
Vic.
Uh-huh.
How would you like to take in a rumor?
A rumor?
Yeah. Now, listen. Now, don't get mad. I was over Miss Call's just now, and I got a chance to take in a rumor. Miss Call's brother.
What do we want with a rumor?
I could use the money. And that front room upstairs is just going to waste. We could have a rumor in there just as well as not. I could clean up after three just as easy as after two. And then he's a real nice man.
We don't want any rumor.
Why not? It's just for the summer. Now listen, he's just going to be here a few months. He's going to teach the chemistry at high school.
The what, Mom?
The chemistry. What you say, Vic?
Rumors are more trouble than they're worth.
Huh. I don't see why. Now think of the extra dollars.
Rumors are always around underfoot.
No. Well, you don't even have to see him. He could use the back door.
You wouldn't make any money.
I would, too.
Got to give him soap and towels and heat, electricity.
I'll get a paper and figure it up.
We don't want any rumor.
I'll bet you'd like him. Elton's his name. Elton Weenie. He's coming over this evening.
He is?
Huh? Now, don't be mad. He's just going to drop by for a minute on his way home from the chemistry. I told him I'd talk it over with you. Give me your pencil.
What for?
Want to figure out the money I'll make.
Listen, kiddo, I won't be home this evening.
You won't? Oh, that's right. You and the junk man are going to get the load of dirt for the backyard.
Nope, we're not. I have to call up the junk man and tell him the date's off. I'm going somewhere else.
Where?
Your head'll fall off when you hear.
Where are you going?
At 7 o'clock tonight, I make a social call on Mrs. A.J. Driscoll.
On Chester Avenue?
On Chester Avenue.
What for? What for?
He's going to be the voice of the...
I'll tell this, Rush. Say, tonight I consort with the Blue Bloods. Mrs. A.J. Driscoll has personally selected me to take a prominent part in a high society pageant soon to be given at her residence.
Really?
Fact. Received the telephone call this afternoon.
Well, what do you know?
I shall in all probability brush elbows with the elect.
What kind of thing is it?
The pageant, you mean?
Yeah.
I expect it'll be a royal affair.
Gov's gonna be the voice of the Congo.
I'll tell this, if you please.
What's it gonna be?
I'm going to take the part of the voice of the Congo in a pageant called Shining Waters Flowing to the Sea.
Oh, a short sort of show, huh?
You might call it that, yes.
Why?
Don't say why.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither did I. Gov started to tell me about it.
Son.
Yeah?
Silence. Now, Sade, all the rivers in the world have a common meeting place, don't they?
Honest? I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me finish, why don't you?
Well, you ask me silly questions.
I'm trying to tell you something.
Well, go on. Oh, good. Go on, goodness.
I'll make it simple for you. You know the Mackinac River?
No.
Oh, you do too.
I know where it is.
Very good. Where does it flow?
It flows from...
Let Mom tell this. Where does it flow, Sade?
Somewhere between here and Peoria, don't it?
I mean, into what body of water does it empty?
I didn't know it emptied into anything.
Forget it. You can figure it out when you see the show.
Did Miss Driscoll call you up herself?
Personally.
Think of that. And they're going to put on the thing at her house?
So I was given to understand.
What time do you suppose you're supposed to be there? Did they say?
Rehearsal starts promptly at 7.
Oh, gracious.
What you think of the old man now?
Well, I got a half notion to call up Ruthie and tell her.
Don't bother. She'll probably see my name in the society notes. I suppose she reads the society notes.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
When do you give your thing?
Early in May.
Well, that is, I suppose Rush and me are invited?
I see no objection.
Miss Driscoll will probably make us stay out in the lawn, you say. Hey, son?
Well, I was in the basement once. Hottie Miller's dad is second gardener there.
I'll see that my family is taken care of.
Now, you want to dress up nice tonight, Vic.
I shall.
You wear the shirt with a little stripe and the tie that you got from Aunt Bess.
We'll see.
Well, think of that. Calling on Mrs. Driscoll on Chester Avenue. You know, I think I will call up Ruthie. She'll just fall through the floor. Wish you'd tell me more about the what kind of a thing it is, so if she asks...
Well, just tell her it's a pageant called Shining Waters Flowing to the Sea.
And you're what?
The voice of the Congo.
Is that a pretty important part?
Well, I judge it is. The Congo is one of our principal rivers.
Well, it's one of Africa's principal rivers, Gov.
Listen, Sam, when I want...
Say, don't forget to call the junk man. You got a date with him, you know.
Life's irony. I have to break with a date with the junk man to fill an engagement with Mrs. A.J. Driscoll.
Well, I have to hand it to you. Getting invited to that place, why, there's people in this town who'd give their right ear to be there.
I know. Well, I must call up the junk man.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Before you do that, what are we going to do about Mr. Weenie?
Who?
The young man that's coming here this evening?
Dismiss him.
Oh, Vic, I think we ought to take him. It'd just be for the summer. I could use them extra dollars.
We want no rumors.
I don't see why we don't.
Rumors are constantly underfoot.
How do you know? We never had rumors before. Well, I bet I could... give me your pencil, please.
I haven't got any on me.
Oh, here's one, Mom.
Thanks. Now look here, Vic.
You'll excuse me. I must call up the junk man.
I want to show you something.
Really, kiddo, I'm quite busy. I have to call up the junk man and then get myself ready to go over to Chester Avenue.
Oh, but this won't take but a minute.
Have you forgotten that I have a date over on Chester Avenue?
Seems to me you're pretty stuck up about it.
Maybe so.
Well, I have to tell Mr. Weenie something when he comes.
Tell him we want no rumors.
I can't tell him that. Wish you were going to be here. Bet if you met him, you'd want him for a rumor.
Tell him I'm over on Chester Avenue, calling on the Driscolls.
Guess all we're going to hear from now on is Chester Avenue. Answer it, son.
I'm going upstairs, Sade. If it's Mrs. Driscoll on the phone, just...
If you'll wait a minute, you can see who it is.
Hello? Yes? Yes, this is Rush Guk speaking. Why, yes. Sure. 7 o'clock. All right. Certainly. Thanks, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Who
Goodbye.
Was it?
Mrs. Driscoll over on Chester Avenue?
No!
Yeah.
What did she want?
Wants me in her show?
Not kidding us.
No, I'm the Mississippi River and her tributaries.
Really, son?
Sure, I'm supposed to be there 7 o'clock, Gov.
Huh.
I can walk over with you.
Yeah.
Well, lands. Vic, guess you're not the only fish in the sea.
No.
And I'm the Mississippi River. That's bigger than the Congo.
Oh, that's right, Vic.
What's so funny?
Well, you've been blowing about how Miss Driscoll invited you to her house.
Heck, don't you see through that?
See through what?
Rush, getting to go along.
Well, I suppose they need somebody to be the Mississippi River.
Sure. Well, the reason Miss Driscoll invited Rush is because he's my little boy.
Oh, is that it?
Why, of course. Plain as day. Evidently, she's trying to get in good with me.
Looks like it, all right. If she wasn't a grandmother, I'd be jealous.
You ought to be proud. Your husband and young son received his old friends on Chester Avenue.
I am proud.
Guess I'll go upstairs now and start getting ready.
Wait a minute. What are we going to do about Mr. Weenie?
Forget Mr. Weenie.
Well, he's coming this evening, and he'll want to know.
Tell him we want no rumors.
Oh, but Vic, I think that...
I'll get it.
Tell Mr. Weenie to call around when your husband's home. Tell him I'm absent tonight, filling an engagement on Chester Avenue.
Hello? Yes? Just a second. Mom.
Who is it?
Some man.
All right.
Hey, Gov.
Yeah?
The Mississippi's a heck of a lot bigger than the Congo.
Don't brag. The thing for you to do is take a bath and be shining bright for this evening. You want to make a good impression.
Yes. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I see. Well, certainly. It's perfectly all right. Of course. Surely. Uh-huh. You bet. Bye. Well, we don't have to worry about Mr. Weenie.
Ain't he coming?
No, he's busy this evening.
Spares us bother and embarrassment.
Know where he's going this evening?
No.
He's going over to Mrs. Driscoll's on Chester Avenue.
The heck he is.
Yes. He's going to be in some sort of show. Take the part of the breath. Of the Euphrates.
You're fooling.
No!
What you know about that?
Must be a real high society doing. Mr. Weenie just got into town this afternoon. Already he's been asked to take the part of the breath of the Euphrates.
Ah, the Mississippi's a heck of a lot bigger than the Euphrates. The Mississippi
Quiet,
is bigger
Rush.
Than...
Rush. Listen, Sade. Who is this Weenie guy?
Just a young man from the country that's going to teach the chemistry.
Yeah, I know, but he must be somebody.
He's just Miss Call's young brother.
Just the same. Listen, you know what I bet?
What?
What time were you talking to him?
I don't know. Came right home from there.
I just wonder if... You don't suppose he's noised it around town? He's going to live here and Mrs. Driscoll heard about it, do you?
Don't see how that could be.
I just bet you it's got out. He's got a room here and Mrs. Driscoll got wind of it. And what you laughing at?
You and your high society.
Listen, sister, you may or may not know that... Answer that.
Yeah.
That would be pretty nice.
What?
If Mr. Weenie comes to room with us, we'll have the voice of the Congo and the Mississippi and her tributaries and the breath of the Euphrates all under one roof.
Yeah, well.
Shh.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll tell him. Yes, sir.
Who was that?
The junk man.
What did he want?
He can't have that date with you tonight.
No?
No, he's going over to Mrs. Driscoll's on Chester.
Yeah.
Chester Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be moonlight on the Ganges.
And so we conclude our brief interlude with Vic, Sade, and young Rush at the small house halfway up in the next block. In our cast, you heard Mark Whitworth as Vic, Marge Lutton as Sade, Joy Jackson as young Rush. Sound effects by Marilyn Wilt. I'm your announcer, Kim Turner. This is an American Radio Theater recreation of an episode missing... But anyway, it's created by ART, American Radio Theater.
Can't read your notes, huh?
No.
Turn right up. Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
It's a great feeling to suddenly find the clouds are silver light when the sun breaks through. It's a great feeling to walk down the street and see the folks you meet smiling back at you. As long as I've got someone to embrace, as far as I'm concerned, the world is such a lovely place. It's a great feeling, your credit is nil, you'll never make a mill, but nonetheless I stay. If you're in love, you're feeling great.
It's a great, great feeling. Yes, it's a great, 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 great feeling.
Voices on wax at the Victor Studios in a tune that's your choice for the Chrysler's Song of the Week.
The longest mile is the last mile home when you've been away. The dearest dreams are the dreams when you've been away. You travel far over land and sea. Then one day it's as clear as can be. The sweetest smile you'll ever the road is the last mile
awful young to be doing any courting then, but they tell me that along about 1922, no date was complete without a ukulele. And I hear they're getting mighty popular again, according to the K-Dance.
Making love, ukulele style, you don't have to be in Waikiki. Making love, ukulele style, to a lovely ukulele serenade. When you love, ukulele style, with every note, your heart will flow far away.
Pacific with the Marines, he tells me there was one song he especially liked to remember from the days back home, and it happens to be one of my favorites from our dusty manuscripts.
If I loved you time and again, I would try to say all I'd want you to know.
Subject of dusty manuscripts, this is a good time to let the K Choir do number. They've been after me to let them try for a long, long time.
Thank you.
she was a good old-fashioned girl with a heart that was true. One who loved nobody else but you.
I was a girl, just like a girl that's married.
And here are two friends of yours, Don Cornell and Laura Leslie, to the song I Think You Like.
I really can't
stay. But baby,
stay.
It's cold outside.
I've gotta go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening is
been
big.
Been hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my mother
ice.
Will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
and
hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I
the
pour.
Neighbors might
but baby,
think.
It's bad out there.
Say, what's in
no
this dream?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your eyes
how
are like starlight now.
Break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
I well. Ought to say no, no,
mind
no, sir.
If I move in
at
closer.
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
oh, baby,
stay.
Don't hold out.
Baby,
it's cold outside. Out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I'd grand. I'd when you touch my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
there's
me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and
I really can't
oh,
stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
Let's forget what I've been saying.
You mean that you're staying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, it's cold outside.
And now if the three cadets will please step up.
We're here, Chief.
Well, are you ready to sing?
Maybe.
Can't you make up your minds?
That's the song.
Oh, of course. Maybe it's because. How dumb of me.
Maybe it's because the kiss you gave me touched my heart and went right through. I can't tell you why. I only know that I fell helplessly in love with you. Maybe it's because the song we danced to told a story old and new. I can't figure out just why it came about or how I fell in love with you. I could say you're grand and therefore I care for you so. But there is a why or wherefore, and I'd like to know. Maybe it's because the star I wished on made a certain wish come true. Or it just could be that you were meant for me, and maybe I was meant for you.
Don Cornell claims he does his daily dozen every morning, just after leaping out of bed. Well, Don, I've never leaped out of bed in my life. But if it could make me feel as happy as you and the Swing and Sway Band sound in this next song, I might be tempted to try it, especially if there was a bluebird on my windowsill.
Washed away all the things you've kept inside. You count your joys this lovely day, and you wonder why you cry. There's a bluebird on my windowsill. There's a rainbow in your sky. There are happy thoughts your heart to fill, near enough to make you cry. And if perchance your heart grows sad, you still can smile again. With every tear you've ever had comes the sunshine after rain.
There's a bluebird on your windowsill. There's a rainbow in your sky. There are happy thoughts your heart to fill, near enough to make you cry.
Tony Alamo, singing as smoothly as that silver anniversary Chrysler drives.
You're so understanding whenever I feel blue. Whenever I need someone, I always run to you. You're so understanding whenever things go wrong. If I have you to cling to, then not that way for long. As long as you are near me, my cares are far away. Your smile can always cheer me. Your kiss, your touch can do so much. Oh, you're so understanding in everything you do. And darling, I will always be understanding too. Darling, I will always be understanding too.
Now, the boys from the Lone Star State have been proving that they can handle a football as well as they can ride a horse or rope a steer. So today we doff our 10-gallon hats to the University of Texas. Thank you.
She'd like to do someday. Laura, tell us.
Homework. I want to do homework instead of an office. I want to work home. Staying at home and crocheting. Guy who comes home, a table wiper who can change a diaper, that's the thing I want to do best, and be the master of a mustard plaster when the cold goes down to his chest. Homework, I want to do homework, a genius who sets and plans with pots and pans and hoe, a genius who has a way that makes him stay at
got for today. Tune your calendar to December 12th for the Christmas Old Time Radio Marathon, Saturday 9 a.m. Pacific, that's noon Eastern, to 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, at radiooutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelson Room. That's on December the 12th. See you then.